T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
SeatGeek, of course, sponsors Coach Billick. As Brian Billick joins us, let me give you a couple of stats from them since they have all this stuff. Boston-based shoppers so far have outpaced Rams shoppers with the tickets. 29% have come from Boston, just 9% from L.A. To sit in the best seat in the house, lower level, midfield, you're going to pay at least $10,000 a ticket. And I can tell you, I have a couple in my bag. They're 40-yard line. They're $5,000 face value. $5,000 a ticket face value.
Well, and you use SeatGeek, or you put in the promo code SB300, you're going to get $300 back.
Very nice.
Here's the
very
ticket nice. For you. Yes. Go to SeatGeek app, and you can see the, you know, it's, as you know, it trends early and late. If you're a Patriot fan, go to that Rams side. Get a cheaper ticket, get the $300, you're good to go.
There you go. Pat fans looking to save money can do. That's wild. In the 300 level, prices are 40% left on the Rams sideline, is 14% less than on the Patriots sideline. And, you know, I think I'm on the Rams sideline with my tickets, I think, because I'm taking my kids to the game. So I'm interested in the building. Arthur Blank's on tomorrow and talk about his baby. Another Brooklyn guy, you know, guy from up there. So I'm interested in the stadium, which they say is fascinating.
I have not been in it yet. You can see it. It's magnificent coming in from the airport, and you see it rise in the on the skyline there. I can't wait to see it.
All right, tell me this. How can Donald Sue do what no one else has done, and that is somehow get past this amazing offensive line and this cocoon they have built and this 2 seconds get rid of the ball deal and somehow do what Tuck did and what Strahan did and get some pressure on win a matchup inside.
And that's the key, isn't it? I mean, the last time they've lost was to the New York Giants, and what was it? With a 4-man line. You didn't have to commit more of that to the rush and getting that pressure on Tom Brady. If anybody can do it, it's Aaron Donald and obviously Ndamukong Suh. And the fact that it's up the middle, you know, when you're playing a Pat Mahomes, what do you want to do? Make him stay in the pocket. It's not as important to get pressure up the middle as long as you keep him in the pocket. With Brady, not that Brady can't be good outside the pocket, but you know he's going to beat you inside the pocket. So you've got to get that rush, and certainly with Sue and Donald, they are capable of doing that. But, in fact, I'm doing a piece on our show Playbook on the NFL Network tomorrow on Wednesday. That offensive line, they're just so smart. They know where their help comes from. They know where the double needs to go. That's where people make mistakes, is they get one-on-one with those guys on the inside. You don't know where your help's coming from, the back or the offensive line. You can see time and time again where that offensive line, if you're unoccupied, you know which side to go to give the help. That is going to be a challenge. But if anybody can challenge it, I think it's this inside pressure of the Rams.
How hard is it going to be to digest this if you're the Chiefs, where you not only had the lead twice in the fourth quarter, you had a pick on a play where your D Ford lines up in the neutral zone?
Yeah. You know, the strength for the Patriots is the good thing for them is no matter how the game unfolds early, even if the Rams get up, that institutional knowledge, that history they have of, guys, we've been here, we're okay. And it's not just coach speak or the players, the rah-rah. It's we've lived it. You go back to the Atlanta game. So how far do you have to be ahead in the fourth quarter to know that
way
the
ahead.
Patriots are going to go,
well, after
oh
this
boy,
building,
we're in trouble.
After the people here in this town, you better, 28-3 wasn't
yeah,
large
exactly
enough.
Right. Yeah. So that's the advantage that they have. I will say this. I think the Rams match up very well across the board in virtually every area.
They have a lot of speed, which is gonna, and that's one way you can hurt the Pats is with speed.
Their ability to run the ball. I think if the Rams win, my guess is that Todd Gurley could very well be the MVP if they win, because it means they ran the ball well, plus him out of the backfield. He hasn't shown up much out of the backfield in the postseason. He caught, 59, 60 passes during the regular season. If they win, I think Todd Gurley may very well have had a big game.
You know, obviously running numbers are always going to be very powerful, but everyone knows that if the Pats have a 100-yard rusher, forget it. I mean, they're 50-1, Belichick. He's never lost a playoff game under that scenario. Now, they don't have to have 100 because White and Sony could get 150 between
right,
them.
Right.
But you can't give them 150 yards rushing because that means everything's working. That means everything is working.
Like you saw, and that's the tough thing with the Patriots. We know that their ability to morph themselves, they'll come into the game going, we're going to run it 50 times. And that's the game plan. And then the next week, we're not going to run it at all.
Yeah, we're going to spread it out.
Clearly against the smaller defense of the Kansas City Chiefs, the way they came out, got in the eye,
and kept the other
and
team
just
off the,
pounding yeah. downhill. I don't know that that's going to be the plan. This is a bigger, more physical front seven with the Rams. But you're right.
He doesn't need that game plan. That game plan he had in there was typical of Belichick in that I'm playing the Buffalo Bills. I'm playing that scoring machine. I'm playing the Rams in the Super Bowl, the old show on earth Rams. He held them. They had the ball 20 minutes to score 31 points in 20 minutes. That's productive.
Yeah.
I mean, and they scored 31 points in the second half.
You know, Brady's ability to play the small ball, you know, the extended handoffs.
Dump it to the back.
We're going to get the 5, 6, 7, 8 yard catches at a time. Maybe break
And White is a heck of a player.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, he's like, he reminds me of the old Preston Pearson, remember the old guy who played for the Colts and the Cowboys? Anytime he was 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, it seemed like the Cowboys threw to him. That's how it is with White. They dump the ball to him all the time.
And he's patient enough to do it. Now, the Rams match up pretty good, I think, with their secondary, with what they're doing, and even out of the backfield. But that's going to be the challenge. And you know Brady's patient enough to do it. It's not like, well, they're going to run out of their patience. If you present the big play to them, they'll take it. But I imagine the Rams and Wade Phillips are going to be very loaded in that intermediate level to minimize any damage in getting the ball out of the hands quick.
All right, you played a team that had won here. The Giants had won here. But you weren't playing a group that had won here. Your buddy Fossil was here, same as you. You came and you won first crack out of the box, so experience wasn't a big factor. Since they're playing a team, though, that lives in this game, how important is it for the young coach and the young quarterback? What is their traps that they have to stay away from?
I think the traps come prior to the game. The game itself will just be a game. Now, the consequences are magnified 100-fold, and the outcome and the consequences. But once they get into the game, you find very quickly this feels like, from a specific play to play to play, like any other game we've played in. It's how you handle yesterday up until the kickoff. That obviously the Patriots have got it down pat. They know exactly the pacing, emotionally, mentally, physically, how they need to pace themselves through practice, how to handle the Saturday before, how to handle the extremely long pregame and the halftime. They've got that down. The Rams, and they've got coaches and players that have been there, so they'll draw on that experience. But at the end of the day, how they handle between now and kickoff, I think is more important than actually what happens after kickoff.
And I think a big plus for the Rams that I don't know if people pay much attention to it, but their punter and place kicker are a big factor.
Very much so.
Enormous.
And I think
they've been clutch.
John Fossil, who's the special teams coach, you talked about Jim.
Yeah.
Best thing I ever did was hire John Fossil.
John Fossil's become a great special teams coach.
He needs to be a head coach in this league.
Absolutely. That's your guy. Absolutely. And he's done a good job.
And that could be the difference in the
game. And their punter's a talented kid.
Very creative. They always do something. They basically turn the tide of the Saints game.
And how clutch was he? He not only kicked the 48er, he drew it back in. That ball was outside when he kicked it.
I thought
it was no good.
Yeah.
He brought it back in and then made the long one, 57, 48, 57. Those are big clutch kicks.
Yeah, and in a dome.
Yep.
And the confidence that he has done that in a championship game will take them a long way in terms of, I know it's a Super Bowl, but you know what? Like we said with the Patriots, I've done this before. I can do this.
You know, we're talking with Brian Billick. Obviously with us all year, courtesy of SeatGeek. Take me back to the day or night before your game here. Were you nervous? Did you think you had your ducks in a row? Were you confident? Your team had been playing lights out. You had been killing people with your defense. You were on a major roll. Giants won there. People forget because of the game, which this game haunts the Giants. You know, the Giants don't talk about this game. Your game, the Giants, they've wiped it off the map. They don't. That game annoys the heck out of them, that game. Everything about that game annoys them.
As it should.
And they lost the championship. They won the championship game 41-0.
Yeah, I really thought
played
we were
a team
play
that you
the Vikings.
Right, I mean, you're playing the Vikings. They kill the Vikings.
Yeah.
Kerry Kyle throws 5 touchdown passes. Yeah. You're playing a team that scores 41 points. But you knew you had a really good team. Were you confident the night before?
Here's the reason I was so confident, and it never dawned on me, not for even a flicker of a second, that we wouldn't beat the Giants, for a couple reasons. And not being disrespectful to the Giants, because they were a damn good team. One, unless you had played us, you had no idea of how fast and physical that defense was. We knew what they didn't know was they were not going to be able to run the ball. Right. And until you get into the game, you think, well, we'll do this and we'll do that. We'd seen it time and time again. The shock to the system of a team, particularly, and the other thing was, every team we played in the playoffs had come off a huge one-sided victory.
Interesting.
So not that they were overconfident, but we knew that you had to feel good about yourselves. You beat a very good Viking team 41-0. That combination, we had lived all the way through the playoffs, so that's where our confidence came from going into the game.
Well, it's funny you talk about that because I'm hearing the hype about Ray Lewis at the time, and I remember him from Miami. And that play with Tiki Barber was right in front of me in the stands. And he made that closing tackle on Tiki Barber, which was one of the most impressive plays I ever saw a guy make. He got there like, it was almost like a jaguar. You're watching one of those, you know, National Geographic things where you just, boom, like that across the field. It was almost eye-opening how fast he got across the field.
You know, I've done a number of things with Tiki, including with the X-Tech pads and that I represent. And Tiki's great. I enjoy, you know, how irreverent Tiki can be. And he always tells a great story in that game where, and it's pertinent because Sean Payton obviously went on to become the head coach of the Saints. Well, he's the coordinator in New York. And he comes out, and so obviously they haven't, I don't think they crossed the 50-yard line.
No.
So now, okay, here's where, so he comes up, and Sean, he says, this is Tiki telling the story, gets up and says, okay, we're going to go no huddle. We're going to change the pace, and we're going to go no huddle. And Tiki, in typical Tiki fashion, in the back's going, oh, great, so we can go three and out faster than we already are, which had to kill the moment. But exactly right. It was, we had lived that all year long, and I had seen it time again, the shock that people had when they realized they could not run the ball.
But you know what was a big play in that? And there were a lot of big plays. George Young was always so mad about that hold. But forget that. You're going to lose, beat him anyway. The thing that knocked the socks off that whole building was when you hit the big play over Seahorn early in the game, the big pass play, because that wasn't something you guys had shown, and you went out there and threw the big pass play down the line, down the right sideline, and hit it over Seahorn, and then the whole building went crazy.
And in fairness to Seahorn, that wasn't his fault. We were in a 2x2 alignment, and Shannon Sharp was on the other side. And Jason thought he had help over the top. Well, the safety was, you had 3/2 on Shannon Sharp, which let Jason one-on-one. I'm convinced, I don't know this for a fact, but the free safety was out of position because Jason thought he had help down the field, and Brandon Stokely was able to get by him.
Goodbye. And that play just erupted the whole place.
And our defense. Yes. Once our defense knew that we had a lead, that energized, it was like, okay, it's our game.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because you guys did just overpower everybody with your defensive front, with everything. And you know, sometimes teams are able to do that. Now, in this game, these are two really good teams physically. These guys there's a lot of good players, a lot of big, good players on this field. There's a lot of power, a lot of speed. You know, the Rams got some pretty good size themselves.
They do. That we talked about. Yeah. The inside presence of Sue and Darnold. Obviously, the outside pressure they can come. The size of their secondary. One of the matchups.
And their offensive line killed the Cowboys.
Absolutely.
Sullivan and Whitworth, those guys killed the Cowboys.
And the Patriots are going to have to add the right number count to. That's why I say I think the running game, if the Rams win, I think very likely Todd Gurley could end up being the MVP.
Do you think Gurley was hurt in the second game?
You know what? I think the way. And C.J. Anderson seemed to get on a roll, and his inside zone. And just straightforward seemed to fit what they were doing. And you give Sean McVay credit for, okay, well, we're going to keep riding this horse. No, I think Todd Gurley's one of the best stretch zone runners. Plus, let's remember, like I said, this guy's a 60-catch guy out of the backfield.
I went back and looked. They lined up in the slot a lot.
And so they're in 11 personnel a lot. Yep. They a little bit more 12 personnel the last half of the season. When Anderson, the last few games, when Anderson's running, they could still stretch this out with 11 personnel, tight end and running back, three wide receivers, which fits Gurley. And then Gurley coming out of the backfield, which we haven't seen a lot lately. That could be the, because now you put Van Noy on him. Do you bring down a safety? That could be a matchup that, indeed, if the Rams win, is one we're going to say, that was a difference.
Is there any we're talking with Brian Billick, any residual? You know, the Pats gave up 31 points on defense in the second half of that game last week and are here. Think about going in a playoff game, giving up 31 points, 24 in the fourth quarter, and still being here.
Yeah, but there again, they had the experience. They had played the Chiefs before. They had that same kind of first half differently, but then the Chiefs cracked the code, so
they
to speak, and Mahomes started to come back in that second half.
Yep.
So they had that to draw on as well, not the least of which, Chiefs are a pretty darn good team.
Very good.
At the end of the day, you've got to give them credit.
Belichick said that. He said we beat a very good team.
You were only going to keep them under wraps for so long. This will be a little bit different game. That will be the key. We've already talked about the Patriots. They're going to be fine if they get behind, and they'll fight themselves through it. If the Rams get by. Now, they were down by 13 in the dome at New Orleans now, so let's give them some credit for having fought back through it. Might be a little tougher in this circumstance. That will be the really big challenge if somehow, through however it falls together, that the Patriots get on top. How do the Rams?
I thought their quarterback, to his credit, made the throws he had to make, and he was real good on play action. His play action throws downfield, especially when he tried to get some chunks on third, you know, on the play action throws. He was 8-for-10 in that game on the play action throws. A lot of those, and I think he hit every one of those play action throws to Cooks that he threw. He made some good throws,
People have been a little critical that he didn't show up in this game or that, like the Dallas game. Well, he didn't need to. They were running the ball. What I give him great credit for is he's played the game he's had to play. If he only had to throw it 25 times against the Cowboys because they were running.
Against the Cowboys when he had to.
No turnover, I'm good. I got to throw it now 40-plus time against the Saints to win, then I can do that as well. So he's showing his ability to understand, okay, this is what I have to do for us to win.
How about a McVay? You know, McVay's got so much attention and so much credit that people thought he was getting too much credit, but here he is at a very young age in the Super Bowl.
Yes, and brilliant, brilliant young coach, and deservedly so, and that's what the league's looking for. Everybody's trying to hire the next Sean McVay.
What do you notice about him that sets him apart? Why is he having this success so fast?
I don't mean this disrespectfully. We're all running the same plays, really, at the end of the day. There's nothing new about the plays he's running. Like you say, play action, three-level throws.
It's sequencing.
And the fact he's got this team believing in the structure they have, the unique way it is, unique the way they communicate it and move in and out of. I love the fact when they, not no huddle, but they'll fast no huddle, slow no huddle, and then huddle. As a defensive coach, now I got to keep up with that. That's hard to do. The way they communicate that, they go to the line, they have multiple options. These players have bought into it. They're able to adapt as they go. They've done a brilliant job, and that's why people are coveting. They're trying to build the McVay train now.
What's the hardest thing you have to do against the Patriot offense if you're on defense? Is it patience? What's the most important thing you want to do against that offense?
I think the hardest thing is first to figure out what are they going to do. If they decide this is going to be a 40-run game, or if they decide they're not even going to try to run, and he's going to throw it 50-plus times, to get a sense early. Kind of like Bill Walsh used the analogy, it's like two boxers, chin and jab, and trying to figure out, okay, what's this going to go like? What's his plan? There's going to be a lot of punch, counterpunch early to kind of figure out from the defensive standpoint, Wade Phillips, of, okay, what is their plan? What do they want to do? And I'll have a plan for it. I'll have my guys ready. The difficult thing is getting a defense ready going, guys, here's the game plan if they want to run it 40 times. Here's the game plan if they want to throw it 50 times. And the guys moving in and out of it the way the Patriots do so brilliantly in the way they adapt their game plan.
All right, what's your thoughts about it? What do you think?
You know what? I grew up in L.A. I'm a Rams fan.
Good.
I got a lot of my coaches are on that staff.
Good.
I think they match up across the board. I'm rooting for the Rams, but I'm betting on the Patriots because every time I don't, Tom Brady and Belichick beat me. So,
well, thank you for the season again, Brian.
All right,
pleasure.
Man.
And again, SeatGeek, again, go and stay informed at SeatGeek.com, Super Bowl ticket tracker, and the X-Tech shoulder pads. New patented design, lightweight, allows greater range of motion and exclusive partnership with XRD technology, a foam with unmatched impact dispersion. You can go to XTechPads.com.
Thanks Bob Broderick, much. Jack Mora. That's
you
the Mara. Those are the guys that are running.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Mike.
My pleasure. Back after this.
I've enjoyed the year.
Thank you, you too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.